Glad you've been listening to some of our favorite interviews and show segments from the last several weeks as we take a couple days off on this Thanksgiving weekend. But we want to put together some of our favorite moments for you to listen to because we appreciate that you are tuning in, even though you're enjoying the Thanksgiving weekend, as are we. So thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for tuning us in. And we will continue with some of our favorite moments as this Best of the Dory Monson Show continues. Did I mention how happy I am to be here today?
It was a close call.
Oh, my goodness, I'm happy.
We're happy to have you back.
I wish there was a song that summed up how I feel today. If only somebody could put it to music, my feelings. Freedom does taste like reality.
I'm free.
Oh, man. Ursula, Nicole saw me right after my ordeal from hell yesterday.
Why was it so bad? So did you look? Because you said, oh, my gosh, you really felt like you were almost dying.
I was almost physically ill. Yes. I think that's what I said.
Wow, what the heck?
We had all these high hopes of having fun with it, too. Like, you'd be able to call in and we'd do this, like, Dory scrap.
I was sick to my stomach.
It didn't work out.
Okay, let me just, because I got a lot of news to get to here. But so yesterday, I had to report to jury duty. So I go down there to the, I parked here at the radio station about 7:30, took an Uber downtown. Had to wade through there are people just
It's scary going into the courthouse.
There are two Seattle cop cars facing in either direction. One guy's over the hood in handcuffs. It's 7:45 a.m. And there are people just screaming maniacally. So then I go in and I report for jury duty. And so I decide.
You're in the big room?
I'm in the big room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Felt like I was in the big house. So I was going to do show prep because I had this fantasy that I might get kicked out by noon. Uh-huh. But then I realized, well, that's not going to happen. So I just start trying to read my Kindle. But I'm just getting this wave of anxiety because I'm trapped someplace against my will. And so then they call the very first group. And this had never happened to me before. I'd done jury duty, but I'd never been called to... Uh-huh. To the courtroom.
Uh-huh.
I had never been in a courtroom in my life until yesterday.
Seriously?
I realized that as I was walking in. I have never spent 1 second of my life in a courtroom before yesterday. Okay, so they read numbers. And for the first case of the day, there are 50 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm number 32. And I'm thinking, well, that was OJ's number, and nothing's ever gone wrong for a number 32 in court. So I'm number 32.
That's actually sad.
And then I get up to the courtroom, and so they put 1 through 12 in the jury box.
Right. And for people who haven't done it, that's how then they start questioning them.
Right. Well, they start questioning all 50 of us. And so, and maybe, I know that this is routine to some people, but all this was new to me. So I'm doing all this as a public service announcement. So then they briefly explained the case.
Mm-hmm.
There was an accident. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
I think you can say, but it's not going to, you can say you're not on the jury.
And I didn't hear any of the details.
Exactly.
There was an accident on I-5. The couple that
was. Are you sure you should say this?
I don't care. What are they going to do? I have free speech. And the truth is my defense.
It's not going to influence anything.
Right. And I didn't hear any details of the case.
You're fine.
So there was an accident on I-5. The couple that was the plaintiff, they're suing the guy who caused the accident. So he's there with his attorney. And they're suing the state of Washington. And apparently they were alleging that some DOT design contributed to this.
Right there, you should have been booted within the first minute.
Okay, so then they go... They start with, is there anybody, they start with the plaintiff's attorneys. Is there anybody here who could not be fair to us?
Oh, my God.
And I raised number 32. And I said, well, you're suing the state of Washington, which to me, and by the way, there were like 10 people who,
of course,
who raised their thing. First they asked for hardship. And I didn't have any legit hardship.
Yeah, but so people do. I mean, so there's...
Well,
yeah,
so they got rid of like 15 people out of the 50.
Wow, that was an easy...
Oh, everyone had a sob story. It was just
because
people...
Because even in my case, they didn't. But anyway, okay. So 15 people out.
Okay, so then is there anybody who can't be fair to us, the plaintiffs? And I'm one of many who raises my card. So number 32 is up in the air. And I said, well, if you're suing the state of Washington, you're suing the taxpayers. And I have a real problem with, awarding, I go, monetary damages, fine, punitive damages.
Okay, at this point, have they figured out who you are?
I have no idea.
I
don't know. They didn't say anything. I said, but I will have trouble giving taxpayer money to you.
Uh-huh.
So the plaintiff attorney turns to the judge, and he had done this for a couple previously. And go, I would like this juror dismissed
right.
for cause. And
well, the other guy's not
for the two earlier ones.
Yeah,
I would like him. I'd like number 24 dismissed for cause. And the judge goes, number 24, you may go. Number 28, you may go. And they says, I'd like number 32 dismissed for cause. And the judge says, denied.
What?
Yeah. So now I'm thinking they're just screwing
yes.
with me.
Wait,
they're
the
screwing
other two?
With me because of my radio show.
What did the other two say it, as their excuse?
Essentially Pause. The same thing.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm denied. I get denied. So now I'm thinking.
That's funny.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. So now I'm starting to worry, and I'm texting Nicole, and I said, yeah, they're dismissing people left and right, and I ain't one of them. So now I'm starting to get a little nervous. Okay, so then the guy for the attorney general gets up, and he goes, is there anybody who could not be fair to our side? Number 32 goes up. And I was one of four cards that went up for that. So he asked, number one, why could you not be fair? Number 18, why could you not be fair? Number 20, why could you not be fair? He doesn't ask me.
No way.
I'm the only one who doesn't get asked.
What?
So now I figure, well, now Bob Ferguson has told them to screw with me.
Yep.
I swear to you, I was the only one who didn't get asked who raised his card.
Or you were number 32 and they figured they weren't going to get to you.
Oh, I'll get to that. Okay. So then they ask some other question and I raise my card. It's like 20 minutes later and I'm holding my card up in the air until they call on me. I'm not going to let them not call on me. And I go, I want to go back about 20 minutes to when you asked if I could be fair to the attorney general.
No way. Wait, okay, yeah.
I said, I believe that Bob Ferguson is the most dangerous politician in our state's history. And I go, there's no way I could be fair to the attorney general's office. And he just smiles at me, doesn't turn to the judge and ask me to get dismissed. I am telling
what?
You guys... I am telling
they
you
were
guys,
toying with you
they
because
were
no way
screwing with me. The judge was screwing with me. The attorney was screwing with me. The attorney general's guy. So then I figure, okay.
And no one is snickering within the jury pool at this point. Like, okay, we know who this is.
And I'm getting physical. Oh, I don't know if I mentioned this. They said the trial will likely last a month.
You did. You said it could be like 3 weeks.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, well, I'll be off the air for a month. I'll have to, what am I going to do, Uber downtown every day? Oh, Lord.
That's ridiculous. What kind of speedy trial is that?
I have no idea.
Oh, no, there are trials that could go, you're
That's
lucky
ridiculous.
It wasn't months.
No, I swear to you, every second of this was constructed just to screw with me. So, I might have left the courtroom, and maybe they all burst out in laughter and said, okay, you can all go, we're done. Maybe it was all a sham. So anyway, then they have 12 in the jury box, and now they say, finally, are there any of you who cannot be unbiased? And four of them, I can't be unbiased. And so then they dismissed
oh, yeah.
four in the box. Well, she has to fill the box sequentially.
Right.
So it's like, okay, numbers, and they already dismissed a whole bunch, but there are 12 people mm-hmm. ahead of me not in the jury box. So now four of them get moved in. So now there are, actually, there were 11 ahead of me. So now there are seven ahead of me. Mm-hmm. But the jury box is full. Now the lawyers can do their peremptory drops.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the plaintiff's lawyer says, the jury panel is fine with us, Your Honor. I'm thinking, well, I'm fine. There's seven ahead of me, and one of the attorneys is fine. And so then the guy from the attorney general's office, who is there just to get me, he says, yeah, we'd like to get rid of number three. So number three gets up. Okay, number 22 takes his place. We want to get rid of number four. Four get up. 25 takes his place. Now there are only five ahead of me. And then one of the people who went in, the plaintiff's lawyer, says, oh, yeah, we don't like the one who just went in. We want to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, there are three ahead of me. And we want to get rid of number 10. There are two ahead. We want to get rid of number 12. There's one guy sitting next to me. Number 31. I'm number 32. And then they get rid of number 7. And number 31, who's sitting next to me, has to go into the jury box, which is like going to prison for a month. If you are seated on this jury, you are in prison for 1 month of your life. Except it's worse than prison because they don't let homeless people scream at you on your way to and from your cell.
Just remember, there are other people who, like me, were begging to get on that jury box. Geez. Okay, but keep going.
So then I'm literally the next person up. And the plaintiff's attorney says, the jury's fine with us. The defendant's attorney, jury pool's fine with us.
I cannot believe it.
I burst into a smile, and the judge, who's sitting at the other end of the courtroom, goes, boy, that was a close one for you.
He did?
Oh, you're showing your sexist
bias.
She
did?
She.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you had already said that it was a guy.
No. So, yes,
awesome. She knew.
Oh, they were. There's one that we have talked about recently. Dang. So I wonder if it was her then.
I don't know.
But that's hilarious.
No, it wasn't. I'm
sweating.
Literally.
Were you having like the whistling contest kind of sweat? You know, those beads like are flying off your forehead.
Yes. I got in the Uber. The Uber guy, I think, didn't want to pick me up because I looked like I had Ebola. I think I was bleeding out of my eyeballs. By the time this thing finally wrapped up. So I get in the back of the Uber. Nicole met me here at the station because I had to pick something up. And then I get home. I took my blood pressure when I went home. Oh, plus, there was bad traffic.
Oh, no.
I took my blood pressure. Yeah. Ursula, my BP's been really good.
It has been.
It was through the flipping roof when I got home. It'd been like 90 minutes since I'd been released. I took it 2 hours later, and it was 120 over 77. It was fine. But I had worked myself into a frenzy like you cannot believe. And I'm telling you, and I don't know if
I cannot believe it got that close.
But I suppose if I had gotten bumped up, either attorney, and I tried desperately to make
someone was going to bump you.
I tried to make both attorneys hate me.
I know.
But like I said,
State Attorney General and State Transportation Department. I mean, those are like two that you
My main targets.
I can't even believe you got that close.
But then also the plaintiff's attorney's going after the taxpayers, which is one of my passions. So I tried to make the attorneys on both sides hate me. And I think maybe if I'd gotten up to the jury box, one of them would have used a drop to get rid of me.
But then at the same time, they both have something for and against you. So maybe they thought you were fair.
Okay. But the fact that the judge, her last words were, you got close.
Yeah,
shows to me she knew who you
were.
Yes. And that's why I think they put me at number 32. I don't think that was some random draw.
No, because I was about 32 or 33, and I got nowhere close.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. And then it was all this theater that had been constructed. And the fact that the plaintiff's attorney
the Truman Show.
The plaintiff's attorney asked to have me dismissed for cause, denied. She wasn't going to let me go 3 hours earlier. She wanted me to sit there and sweat for all of my transgressions against King County, for all of the my horrible misdeeds. I bet Dow Constantine played some role in how this whole thing was put together yesterday. And I guarantee you Bob Ferguson had some...
No proof.
Guaranteed.
This is funny, though, but no proof.
When I am one of four people who says I cannot be fair to the AG's office, and they asked the other three why not, and then ignored me? Oh, jeez.
Hey, by the way, when you got home, did you check out your God. Tires and the side of your car?
Yeah, that's all good. Story. Oh, no.
No, but,
Anyway, well, welcome back.
I was that close to not being here, not only today, but for the rest of August.
Oh, no, you were going to be coming in to record that show at night.
Yeah. So then Nicole's idea at the lunch break, when I could finally call in, she goes, well, if you get placed on the jury, you can just record segments late at night and before you go into the court in the morning.
And everyone would appreciate
So I'm gonna be here. I'm still going to have to do the show and then
I love it. That's the sign of an excellent producer.
And then sit in purgatory for 7-8 hours in the middle of summer. I don't know what I would have done if I'd gotten seated on that jury. I truly don't know what I would have done. I don't know if I would have showed up today. I might have been in contempt of court.
No, you would have been on a jury.
No, I might have gone to jail for being in contempt. I don't know. It sounded just awful to me. Did I yap through the whole big lead?
Yes, you did. Jeez.
Okay, anyway, the bottom line here is... I'm free. And I know, the thing is, if I was a cool customer, I wouldn't have let the judge and the AG's office know how much they got to me. I would have just come in here and say, jury duty yesterday, didn't see it, no big deal. Let's get to the big lead. But I'm playing right into their hands because I know that that whole thing was carefully manufactured. Okay, tell you what, I'm going to carry over the big lead into the next segment. I'm glad that you're there. I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad we're together. And we have lots more as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. But you've been told many times before, Messiah's one you can go. No one has a custom. Glad you've been listening to some of our favorite interviews and show segments from the last several weeks as we take a couple days off on this Thanksgiving weekend, but we want to put together some of our favorite moments for you to listen to because we appreciate that you are tuning in, even though you're enjoying the Thanksgiving weekend, as are we. So thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for tuning us in. And we will continue with some of our favorite moments as this Best of the Dory Monson Show continues. Well, as I've told you for years now, the most dangerous politician I've ever seen in my nearly quarter century as a talk show host is our state attorney general, Bob Ferguson, who has weaponized the AG's office and used it as a protection racket for those with whom he agrees politically. But man, if he disagrees with you politically, he will go after you. And now we have a set of gun laws passed by Citizens Initiative, but they are clearly unconstitutional. So much so that several sheriffs in our state said they simply will not enforce these gun laws. But there's a group that wants to do something even more radical about all of this. It's called the Washington 3%ers. Matt Marshall with that group joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Matt, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so just give me, first of all, the broad overview of your group's take on these laws you are so discontented with.
I mean, there is multiple state and U.S. Constitution violations. Some of the most egregious are the Fourth and Second Amendments, as well as Article 1, Section 24 of the Washington State Constitution. Those are just the constitutional arguments, but in general, it just restricts access, restricts people's ability to defend themselves. And the fact that it was, Bob Ferguson's pet while he was in Seattle, and then he couldn't get it passed through legislature. And so he had to go and and turned to an initiative process that was clearly biased and skewed against the people with just blatant lies and unethical and illegal campaign finance violations in the way that he endorsed it while he was campaigning and in political office. I mean, start to finish, it's just a terrible law, terrible bill. And
okay, let's back up for just a second. So when you say that it restricts access, that it restricts a citizen's right to defend themselves, what about the law restricts those abilities for you?
Well, first off, it has to be safely secured. That's the first access. The second, the most egregious, is people that are 18 to 21 now can't have a semi-automatic rifle to defend themselves. I mean, those are the two most egregious. And these same guys we're going to have go overseas and fight our various wars, but they can't defend themselves at all.
Okay, and yeah, there's absolutely no question that the law is unconstitutional. I mean, I've had constitutional experts who have looked at it on my behalf. Okay, so you could have tried to fight this through some other means, but you guys are talking about something more radical. What's your remedy here?
Well, I mean, right now the one that's getting all the publicity is that we've talked about how we would love to be able to do a citizen's arrest due to crimes while in office. However, we also know that that's a romanticized ideal and would end up with people being hurt and a lot of other people going to jail, and the attorney general would walk free because that's what he seems to do.
So you were talking about literally going down to Olympia and trying to do a citizen's arrest of Bob Ferguson.
That is one of the romanticized ideas that we would love to be able to do. However, we are not actually going to do that.
Okay. So what are you actually going to do, if not that?
Well, right now we have a formal citizen's complaint that we are going to be filing with a Thurston, right now it's going to be a Thurston District Court judge. And we'll be requesting, basically, we're requesting that he be charged criminally for his violations while in office. And the meeting that we had last week was specifically with Sheriff John Snaz of Thurston County to see if he would execute that arrest warrant if we were able to get it issued.
And what was the sheriff's response?
That he would enforce every warrant. However, he said that this is just not going to happen.
Yeah, and so, it sounds like a pipe dream to me. Here is the problem with Bob Ferguson. He has decided that his opinion and his worldview is more important than the state constitution that it is his sworn duty to uphold. So whether it's the Seattle or other cities' income tax, which is clearly in violation of the state constitution, but he won't challenge them. He would rather waste millions of taxpayers' dollars in the city's futile attempts to try to get something that's unconstitutional on the books just for show, because they know they're not going to win. But he won't defend the constitution when it comes to an income tax. He won't defend the constitution when it comes to gun rights. And our state constitution, despite the loony liberalness that were perceived to have in Washington, the people who founded this state and crafted our state constitution, they actually wrote into that constitution some of the strongest gun rights in the country.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny because they'll turn back to 1639 and say that it's up to the courts now to challenge the constitutionality of it because it's been passed by 60% of the majority. However, they seem to turn a blind eye to people rejecting Inslee's carbon tax twice by over 59% majority, and they continue to try to shove it down our throats in other ways.
Not only that, but $30 car tabs. The citizens have voted for that, two or three times. After the court flipped it, Gary Locke, as governor, said, okay, clearly the people want this, so he went to the legislature, and we had $30 tabs, even though the court had flipped it, because back then we had politicians who cared somewhat about the will of the people. Now they only care about their personal worldview.
Oh, absolutely. And look, when Tim Iman tries to come back and get us $30 tabs again, look what the attorney general does to him.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know. Okay, I got to ask you, Matt, because I was doing a lot of research, knowing I was going to talk to you today. You know what some people say about your group? I mean, I was doing research, and they're saying online that you're a hate group, that you are just a bunch of radicals. What do you say to your critics that are out there?
Oh, they just want to hate us. We are a very inclusive group. We don't there's no way that we are anything that they claim that we are except for constitutional conservatives. I mean, we're a 501c4 nonprofit. We work for veterans outreach. We work for community support and preparedness. And saying that we are a hate group and hate any group is just ridiculous. What we hate is tyranny.
What is the means? I know you said the sheriff said it's just not going to happen, but what would be the process for you trying to get that warrant for Ferguson?
Well, we would file our citizens' complaints and with the Thurston court, and then we'd see if the judge would actually issue a warrant. Now, one thing that we haven't mentioned yet that we found out yesterday, this is big news, I don't think you've heard about this one yet, is we actually got a repeal I-1639 ballot initiative approved. So we will be starting a petition now. It's I-1094, and it is to repeal every part of 1639.
But if 1639 passed with, what was it, 60%, how in the world is a repeal going to pass?
Well, first off, you got to look at our voter turnout. So voter turnout in this last election was awful for conservatives. Part of that is everybody was incredibly disenfranchised and had nothing to be excited about, and Trump was already in office, and I think everybody got caught back on their heels. I think with this law passing last time, having all of the conservative support, especially out of Eastern Washington, I think there is a very good chance that we'll be able to get this thing flipped if we can get it on the ballot.
Okay, and you're talking about, what, November of next year?
Correct.
Okay, well, that's when I'll be on the ballot for governor, so it'd be good to have a lot of fiscal conservatives out there next year.
I sure hope so.
Okay, all right. Okay, Matt, it's good talk with you. Keep me posted, will you?
Will do.
Okay, all right. Matt Marshall, he is with the group called Washington 3%ers. They want to do a citizen's arrest of Attorney General Bob Ferguson or see if they can get a warrant for a sheriff to make an arrest of him. What do you think about all this? You can text me, 98973, 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So on this Thanksgiving weekend, hope you're enjoying some of our favorite interviews and segments from the Dory Monson Show. Let me tell you what's going on with me this weekend, as if you would care. But I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we got the Christmas lights up on our house, and I was ready to go. I was ready to light up the shrubbery around our house. I was ready to get stuff up inside the house, but my wife and daughters talked me out of it. Hey, slow your roll, Dad. Come on, let's save some stuff until Thanksgiving. So now the new tradition, I mentioned this a couple of years ago, that we had a family tradition of going and cutting down our Christmas tree, and we would always go on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And we had this one particular tree farm that we liked going to, so we'd just go as a family. We had a minivan back then when all our girls were younger. So we'd go cut down a tree, strap it to the top of the minivan. There were always worries that Dad wasn't very good about strapping the tree down. Everybody was always worried the tree was going to go flying off. But I always managed. We always managed to barely sneak home with the tree dangling off the side of the roof. But that was years ago, when it was really easy because we were parents and our girls were young, and we just said, hey, Saturday, we're all going to go cut down the tree. And everybody was happy with that. But then your kids get older. They go out of the house. They have their own lives. And it gets tougher and tougher. I tried to hold on to the tree cutting tradition for a couple of years, but it just becomes too tough to coordinate the schedules of five busy adults. Two busy adults and three kids. My wife and I had total control. That was easy. Five busy adults, it just gets really tough. So a couple of years ago, I made what I thought was one of the more difficult decisions of my life, because I swore my whole life, I swore I am never going to be an artificial Christmas tree guy. I am never going to get a fake Christmas tree. And I realized I don't like going shopping for Christmas trees without my kids. My wife didn't particularly enjoy it. So I started researching, and I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to get an artificial Christmas tree, I'm going to get the best one there is. And I was going to say it's ridiculously expensive, but as expensive as trees have gotten, it'll pay for itself in a few years. A few. Several years. But it's beautiful. And it's pre-lit. And it's not the easiest thing to assemble. So on, my wife and I moved all the pieces up to the room right off our living room for staging purposes. And now on Thanksgiving night, when we have the kids and the son-in-law and sometimes boyfriends over, I enlist everyone's help to put the tree together. It's not as romantic as going and cutting down a tree. One time we cut down the tree in the snow. That was about as romantic as it gets. But now we assemble the tree. But I am telling you, it's beautiful. I love this tree so much. And it's pre-lit. You got either the white lights or the multicolored lights. I have a little remote control. I can turn on just the white lights or just the multicolored. Or if I'm feeling really crazy, both at the same time. And I just absolutely love it. So anyway, that's what I do now. I swore that I'd never be one of those guys, but I'm one of those guys, and I'm so happy with the decision. So anyway, that's our we'll get the Christmas tree up this weekend, and then it's officially Christmas time in the Monson household. Okay, glad you're with us. Keep on listening as the Best of Dory Monson show rolls on.